commits suicide under anesthesia by holding its breath. It has a dive reflex, allowing it to breathe hold for more than half an hour underwater. To save oxygen underwater, the heart slows down and blood vessels supplying the brain, heart and kidneys widen to maximize blood and oxygen supply to these important organs. In other places, vessels constrict, shifting blood flow away from less critical sites such as the skin, blubber, and intestines. Unfortunately, when anaesthetized, all Awarus's natural mechanisms are confused and don't work normally. While the brain is away, not even dreaming of clams, the body thinks it is underwater. The Awarus holds its breath, its heart slows, and the longer the anesthesia, the higher the risk of disaster unfolding. Anesthesia is controlled death. It is easy to forget this when disguised by the veneer of respectability in a modern human hospital. Despite over 150 years of anesthesia, with millions of people anesthetized yearly for everything from ingrown toenails to brain surgery, and wildlife vets like me anesthetizing everything from seahorses to elephants, we still don't actually understand the precise physiological mechanisms that make anesthetic drugs work. Why? When we give some compounds, does the brain lose consciousness and patients don't feel pain? It isn't at all like sleep. Give too much and the patient dies. Anesthetic drugs are, after all, toxic chemicals, poisons given in just the precise amount to keep the patient oblivious in the narrow corridor between life and death. Anesthesia in the Awarus is complicated by its massive weight and blubber. The thick blubber layer makes it difficult to inject into muscle. Drugs in the blubber are absorbed unreliably, and it can take ages for the Awarus to become anesthetized, making everything even more unpredictable. Its hind limbs are tiny with small muscles, so we inject drugs in the back muscles instead. The blubber makes it almost impossible to get a catheter in a vein to give injectable drugs in an emergency. A large bull can weigh 1.5 tons. In water, this is not a problem, as the weight is evenly supported by external pressure. On land, however, it is a different story. All the pressure is exerted in one direction by gravity. It's like trying to breathe with a small car parked on your chest. Under anesthesia, this is hardly helpful to a walrus's well-being. Even with a ventilator to breathe for the unconscious animal and using drugs to encourage a less sluggish heartbeat, walrus anesthesia is usually nerve-wracking and occasionally fatal. Thankfully, walrus anesthesia is not needed that often. Still, having anesthetized over 300 wild seals, I am all too familiar with them too trying to suffocate themselves under anesthesia by holding their breath. But there are other alarming anesthesia patients besides walruses and seals. Anesthesia is hours of boredom interspersed with moments of sheer terror. My patients, if they happen to wake up inadvertently, can quickly kill me. Having an endangered Asiatic lion blink and lick her lips while I had her anesthetized makes one think rather quickly. She won't be writing a letter of complaint to hospital management if she wakes up unexpectedly. Anesthetizing the same wild animal can be completely different in disparate scenarios. Despite an intimidating appearance, white rhinos are often absurdly easy to anesthetize in a zoo. The simplest thing is to give them a half a bucket of fresh vegetables, and when they stick their head in to guzzle, to put a thin needle in one of the fine veins on the outer edge of their ear. They flick the ear once or twice as if a fly were biting them, then seem not to notice. I used to apply a local anesthetic cream with gloves and wait 15 minutes for it to take effect, until I realized that most of them simply don't care. I attach a long thin drip line so the needle isn't pulled out, and then I will slowly inject until with a few big sighs their legs crumple beneath them and they're off to the land of oblivion. Feeding an animal while I anesthetize it is not seen as best practice among many anesthetists. Choking or breathing in regurgitated food are their biggest fears, and much of the human anesthetic process is to limit the risk of this as much as possible. But a small bucket of fruit for a 3-ton animal is like me eating half a chocolate bar. Still, this horrifies some until I explain the alternative. Would they rather have an hysterical patient running around in accident and emergency while you try to inject drugs into their butt cheek? Stress hormones have